Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Trust and Believe. I'm your host, Sean T, and this is part two of my conversation with Lance Frank. It was good last week, and it's going to get even better this week. And we're going to talk about some even more intimate things. And I hope that you can reach out to Lance if you need any support, or if you just want to leave a comment on our Instagram page or send us a DM, and maybe we can direct you in the right path. Get ready to trust and believe with a little more pelvic health.
Somebody say, oh yeah.
No. What's up?
He's better than Oprah.
Come on, y'all.
This is Sean T, and it's time to trust and believe.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our kids were born via surrogacy, and our surrogate, she had C-section. And, you know, and I know a lot of women, obviously, you have C-sections, or, you know, they give vaginal births. And you spoke in the beginning about how they get a script to say, here's, I think you said, 6 weeks of physical therapy. You know, what is happening to a woman during birth, regardless of how she gives birth, that requires, or you think that they should really seek out to get themselves some physical therapy?
Kind of going back to a sports orthopedic mindset, you know, if you've ever had a rotator cuff injury, or if you've ever torn your ACL in your knee, your doctor, your orthopedic surgeon or physician has no issue sending you to rehab, to physical therapy. It's much more conservative. Even if you have had to have a surgery for your ACL, it's much more cost effective on the medical system to go through physical therapy than keep prescribing you a bunch of medications or having unnecessary surgeries. The same exact principle applies to having a baby. I mean, as wonderful as having a baby is, as wonderful as creating a new life and bringing it into the world, it's a traumatic experience on the body. It is a trauma to the pelvic floor. Your muscles have to stretch, you know, 10, 50 times their natural size. And if you're giving a vaginal delivery, if you, heaven forbid, you tear, if you have, you know, the space between the vaginal canal and the anus, it's graded on 4 different degrees. If you have a 4th degree tear, you pretty much have torn your entire perineum open from the vaginal canal into the rectum. Like there are no longer two holes. They have become one because you have torn so badly. And those patients, you know, they get stitched up, they have an episiotomy, but again, like you wouldn't go get an ACL, you know, reconstruction. You wouldn't get your knee torn open and put back together and then not get physical therapy. It's just like not common practice. And so regardless of if you had a 4th degree tear or not, those muscles still have to stretch. It's the incidence of, you know, urinary incontinence or prolapse are very high, and they correlate to the amount of, they can correlate to the amount of tearing that you have. And so it just baffles me that I don't understand why a physician would be hesitant to refer to pelvic floor PT. And thankfully, a lot of the physicians that I've been fortunate enough to partner with are very, very open and welcoming to pelvic floor PT, particularly like OBs and urogynes, urogynecologists. They are very, most of the ones that I've worked with here in Atlanta are very open to pelvic floor PT. But like I said at the very beginning, a lot of physicians, especially kind of older school physicians, think of what we do as witchcraft, and it's not necessary, and you just need to do a bunch of Kegels and you'll be fine. And that's absolutely not the case. And it's infuriating whenever I get patients that come to see me having had physicians tell them that they just needed to do Kegels or they just needed to drink a glass of wine and it'll be fine. Like, absolutely infuriating. And in Georgia, where I'm at, in Atlanta, we have direct access. So you don't need a physician's referral to come see a pelvic PT. You know, depending on the amount of time that you're seeing us, we have to consult with a physician. But for your first appointment, at least, you don't need a physician's referral. And actually a lot of states have some form of direct access where you can just go see a pelvic floor PT if you want to. We work closely with physicians just because of the nature of the way our healthcare system is set up. But it's not absolutely necessary to have a physician's referral to come see us. And so in the last, you know, pelvic floor PT isn't new. It's been around for decades, but just, you know, just like as the times change, talking about penises and vaginas and sex has become less taboo. And so people are more willing to talk about what's happening to their bodies. And so pelvic floor PT has kind of become, I don't want to say revolutionized because that sounds tacky, but people are more open to coming to see a pelvic floor PT. I would say in the last 10 years, it's become more commonplace. But even if you haven't had a vaginal delivery, even if you have had a C-section, you know, they're still cutting your body open to get another human being out. And there's a lot of scarring that happens. And there are a lot of nerves that travel through the abdominal wall. And so even if you haven't had a vaginal delivery and they've done a C-section, I still would highly, highly encourage patients to still go see a pelvic floor PT once. You know, what's the harm in seeing someone and just at least getting screened to make sure that, you know, even patients that have had C-sections, still I've treated patients that have prolapse or urinary incontinence. It's just, again, falls into that overactive pelvic floor. A lot of patients can't have vaginal deliveries because they have an overactive pelvic floor. They can't get out of that relaxed state to have a vaginal birth. And so I always encourage patients, even if you have had a C-section, like, it would still behoove you to go see a pelvic floor PT.
Ladies, listen to that. and go find a pelvic floor therapist specialist. Okay. Two more things. Okay. One, let's talk about pain during penetration, because, and I'm about to keep it very real here because I know you work with a lot of the LGBTQ community. And you know, there's a lot of guys out there who are like, you know, they think being, you know, the passive, like they, in Europe, they say passive, in the States, they say the bottom, you know, whatever. Even if you're a female out there and you're having anal sex and you're receiving anal sex, people are like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing that. It's because it hurts. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I mean, there's always, you know, some sort of window. But you say, but then there's also women who have vaginal pain during intercourse, correct? So let's talk about pain during intercourse of all areas, if you will. I mean, because I, for the longest time, you can ask Scott, I was like, nope, no, no, no. Or I would just be like, you know, I would have anal sex as a receiver because I was like, I love my husband. But it wasn't until the pandemic when we had nothing to do. I said, all right, this is going to be my time to get over this hump, honey. Like, you know, keeping it very real here today, ladies and gentlemen.
Love that.
But I'm just like, and it wasn't, for me, it wasn't anything about like, you know, a masculine thing. It was more about, well, this hurts. And I also, you know, because I had childhood sexual trauma, sexual abuse, I also had some mental stuff that was going on with that, that I didn't work through all the way, you know, just because, you know, in terms of my sexual abuse, like my sexual abuser tried to, you know, rape me in that kind of way. And it was, it just completely ruined my mindset. So I had a lot to work through. Anyway, I'm talking a lot. I just wanted to give you some information around
I'm
interested in this topic.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Well, thank you for sharing that. And unfortunately, it's just really shitty to be, honest.
No, you can curse on this podcast.
Okay. It's just, well, it is. It's just a really shitty thing that sexual assault and rape is so prevalent, because I would say a very large majority, men and women that I treat, have experienced some form of sexual assault or trauma or rape. And, you know, whenever you've had something so traumatic happen to your pelvic floor or try to happen to your pelvic floor, whether we know it or not, our body remembers things. It remembers, you know, what the feelings that were associated with that instance. And so that's why I work very closely with a lot of sex therapists, a lot of like patient or a lot of therapists that can work through the mental side of things, where I work through the physical side of things.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And so with pain with penetration, you know, it's not to say that everyone who has pain with penetration has been sexually assaulted or raped. That's not a fair statement, but it is a very high correlation. And so it just kind of goes into that anxiety, that stress associated with this specific event. And so if you have a lot of like mental hangups or, you know, a mental trauma associated with that, it can be very difficult to separate that one instance from the rest of your sexual encounters for the rest of your life. Because if you had one negative experience, it just kind of flows into, kind of seeps into the rest of your life. And so to your point, you know, having, you know, anal sex penetration, it's really hard to detach those instances. And if you can't relax your pelvic floor, it absolutely is not going to be an enjoyable experience for you. And so a lot of what I teach, whether it's vaginal or anal penetration, a lot of what I teach is just, you know, if you're working with a mental health therapist, great. If not, mental health is not my background, but I always tell patients, like, I'm a lowercase p, capital T. Like, I'm a PT, but I'm mostly a therapist. And so if you're working with me, like, I try to help you work through some of the head stuff, and I try to help you figure out how to navigate your body in a way that you can relax, get out of that overactive pelvic floor state, relax your body enough to comfortably and feel safe enough to receive penetration. And it's not something that happens overnight. I'm going to be honest. Whenever I'm doing, particularly with pain with penetration, a lot of what I'm doing is, you know, again, breathing, like teaching patients how to get out of that overactive state, but also doing a lot of dilator training. So dilators are these, I have a company that I really love and use. They have a regimented dilator set where the smallest dilator starts at like the size of my pinky, and the largest one goes up to like 5.5 inches in diameter and is like 8 inches long. And so those dilators are great. And they're also coming out, this company is also coming out with a rectal line. So because, you know, us in the gay community, anal sex is the only way we can receive penetration or give penetration. And it's something that I've thought been thinking about for a while. But anyways, they're coming out with a rectal line, and I'm very excited about these dilators, because you can graduate, you can start with one size, something that's comfortable, non-threatening. You can, it's just like doing a hamstring stretch, right? If you bend over and touch your toes and you have a lot of tightness and a lot of pain, you're not going to want to keep doing that. However, you're not going to get more flexible. You're not going to gain flexibility or range of motion if you don't ever stretch the hamstrings or work through that tightness. The exact same thing, the exact same principle applies to the pelvic floor, whether it's vaginally or rectally. It's all just a group of muscles that have the ability to expand. It's just a matter of working through whatever your tightness is, whatever your level of tension is, to progress to something that's more comfortable. And so that's what I love about this dilator regimen, whether it's vaginal or rectal, you can use these dilators and you can progress from one size to the next. And, you know, obviously I'm there with you and I'm kind of coaching you and teaching you. We're going through all the breathing, we're going through all the stretching, we're going through all the lengthening and the down training. But specifically for pain with penetration, specifically for, you know, anal, there's no like, I've done a lot of research. There's no like guidelines or like manual of like how to have comfortable sex, particularly for gay men. You know, like if I would have known about this when I was 18, like, or if I would have had something, you know, to kind of cue me or direct me, like the first experience would have been a lot less terrible, you know. Like, I feel like just
talk about it.
Sex in general just isn't talked about, you know, and nobody tells you as a, you know, when you're figuring things out, exploring how to do it safely or comfortably. And so this has been an idea of mine for a while, but having just some sort of like book or manual or like, you know, I don't know, I feel like would be really helpful for a lot of people to have pain-free sex, pain-free penetration.
Write the book, Lance.
Write the book. It's in the making.
Okay.
It's good. In the making.
We'll have you back on once it's published finished. And I read it and okay. I'll help you sell it because okay. I get it. You know, I wasn't comfortable having anal sex until I was 43 years old. So, and it has a lot, I think it has a lot to do with what we talked about, the mental space and even just the training of it. And, you know, in the gay community, they talk about it. Oh, I'm a power bottom. I'm like, well, good for you, bitch, because I'm not, and right. I ain't trying to be, you know, it's just like we right. go through all those things and maybe they've been able to relax and maybe they haven't had sexual trauma and even if it's women in rape, maybe they, you know, even if there a lot of women I know still have sex in a loving marriage and because they've had past trauma, they don't like sex that often and they don't know why, and their spouse thinks that it's because they're not into them, and right. you know, they go through all these problems. And I just think that visiting someone like you, lowercase p, capital T, even though it's a capital P,
right?
I think it's necessary. So when you write that book, we'll have you back on, okay. but I'm not letting you go yet. All right,
perfect.
The next thing I want to talk about is there's so many things, but I think. Just because of time, I want to talk about toxic masculinity and the vulnerability with that and penises. Like, can we talk about that? Because it is a real thing. And a lot of people don't even know what toxic masculinity is. So can you just like really dive into that for me? I want to say real quick, but you can go as slow as you want.
It's not going to be real quick, but I will absolutely dive into it.
Okay.
I mean, so from a healthcare standpoint, toxic masculinity is just this idea, this headspace that men have to be, you know, alpha, have to be macho, cannot show weakness, have to be best on top of everything. And a lot of those patients in my clinic are the ones that have the most problems. Whenever you particularly in the healthcare setting, like nobody wants to be vulnerable. Nobody wants to admit weakness. Nobody wants to admit, you know, something is wrong with them. And I feel like in women and patients with vaginas, it's a lot more accepted to seek out help. And it's, you know, women are more of the nurturers, of the carers, of, you know, are better at expressing their feelings and their emotions and what their wants and needs. I feel like men have to kind of keep that bottled up. It's been like ingrained in society, for particularly in the States, but also, you know, everywhere globally, but even more so, I feel like in the States, men cannot show weakness, or it becomes a stigma. And so for a man to seek out help and admit that something is wrong with their, particularly with their pelvic, with their pelvic floor, it's hard. A lot of men just won't do it, or I have had several patients where their wife has like called and made the appointment, or called and reached out and talked to me about their husband's problems because the husband didn't want to. And so it just goes to show that it can be really hard for men to be vulnerable and admit when something is wrong, whether it's, you know, any of the things that we've talked about today, erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, you know, pain with erections, pain with ejaculation, any kind of pain symptom. It's common, but it's not normal. I read a statistic the other day, I think it was sometime last week, that 1 in 6 men will experience pelvic floor dysfunction in their lifetime. And, you know, pelvic floor dysfunction is a large umbrella. So that can be, you know, all the things that I just mentioned, can be more things that we haven't really talked about, but 1 in 6 men will experience pelvic floor dysfunction. And my experience is that a lot of the men that have found me, my practice is still very new. So I'm still in the growing phase. I'm still getting patients. I'm still, you know, connecting with different referral sources. But in the beginning, a lot of my patients came from, you know, Google search. A lot of my patients would find me online and they would come see me that way. I've done better at marketing myself and talking to different providers in the city. So I now get a lot of patients from urologists, most of them being men. But even then, they've been bounced around from provider to provider because nobody can really figure out what's wrong with them. And so that also just discourages them from seeking help. Like if they've gone to see their primary care doctor and they've run all the tests, they've done all the whatever that they need to do, and that nobody can find anything wrong with them physically, it's very discouraging to keep asking for help when somebody tells you that nothing's wrong with you. It's in your head. I've had patients, you know, see 5, 6. I had one patient see 10 different providers before they finally got to me. And like, how discouraging is that, to see 10 different people and all of them tell them there's nothing wrong with them? There's nothing wrong with them. When in actuality, like, you know, their pelvic floor is jacked.
A lot of people don't want to admit. So they could go to the doctor and they're like, a doctor might ask them a question, but they're like, oh no, it's not that bad. Or, you know, so I think a lot of times they don't want to have that vulnerability and they feel like their masculinity is being diminished, because especially if it has to deal with their penis or, you know, anything down there. Like, do you ever have patients that have breakthroughs like literally in front of you?
I have to be a supportive clinician. Like, I have to create space for people to be vulnerable. Otherwise, you know, it's not just like going to see your ortho PT or going to see your trainer at the gym. Like, this is a very intimate setting, and I appreciate that. And so I have to hold a lot of space for people to feel safe enough and vulnerable enough to tell me all of the information. Because if patients are just telling me half-assed sort of answers, if they're kind of only half answering questions, or if they're kind of skirting around what's actually happening to them, it makes it very hard to diagnose and also treat.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
But when patients really kind of let their walls down and really kind of step out of that masculine kind of show no weakness or show no fear sort of personality, it a lot more progress can be made. And I've had patients tell me, one last week, he was like, you know, I've never told anybody any of this information. He's like, I've just kind of suffered in silence with it because I didn't know who to talk to. And the people that I asked or talked to dismissed it. So it just kind of goes back to our healthcare system in general and just how flawed the American healthcare system is. You know, physicians see upwards of 20, 30, 40 patients a day. They don't have a lot of time to spend with you. You get like 5, maybe 10 minutes. You tell them what's wrong. And they may have some follow-up questions, but generally they leave, they write you a script for a medication or something, a diagnostic test, and then you're done. So there's not a lot of space to create for patients to really kind of own that vulnerability and kind of express what's really happening, which is why I feel fortunate working for myself and working in the setting that I do, because for every new patient, it's a 90-minute session. Every patient gets 90 minutes to just talk to me and kind of tell me what's going on. And I would say half to 3/4 of that time is literally just spent talking. The rest is the exam. So a lot of time is spent just listening and creating space for people to be vulnerable and tell me all of their experiences that they're having that they think is related to what they're there for. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I just
went down a rabbit hole. I mean, it does. And you have, you know, even while we're out having drinks, like you have such a calm and calm spirit around you. That's why I kept being like, let's go down there to the bar and the music. Let me get you. Let me see what Lance has. But I mean, just even as a friend, you know, I could totally see how people would be able to feel comfortable and open up to you, which brings me to the next and final question. You know, I know you're in the Atlanta area. Where can people find you and reach out to you and get in touch with you? And I'll just give you this CTA. Just, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the Atlanta area and you have experienced anything that Dr. Lance Frank has talked about, or even if you have some sort of concern, I wholeheartedly, you know, would love for you to reach out to him. But anyway, where can they find you and how can they reach out to you?
Yeah. Well, my website is a good place to start. FlexPTATL.com that's the name of my business, FlexPTATL. But that has kind of all of my information, my background, scheduling an appointment. You can do all of that through my website. You can also follow me on Instagram. Lance Frank is my personal page, but FlexPTATL is my business page. And then TikTok that's where I met you, Sean. TikTok has been fun. And that is Lance in Your Pants. That's my username on there. Seems fitting.
Well, TikTok is the place to have a handle that's titled Lance in Your Pants. Right. And I will say this, I think a lot of people will get a kick out of this story. I found Lance on TikTok and he kept showing up on my For You page. And I'm like, why is this doctor? And I think that, one, I do follow some doctors because you guys have like really great ways of, you know, being creative on TikTok. But in addition to it, you know, I tag LGBTQ a lot. And I think that, you know, the algorithm,
right.
But he kept showing up. And I think I liked some of your posts, but I never followed you. And then I was like, let me reach out to this guy. And then he told me he did my workouts. And then we were best friends ever since. And we went out, myself and he and his partner went out to dinner, and I was like an hour late. Don't even. I was so late. But I was getting my hair
so late. But it's okay.
So late.
We forgive you. God. We forgive you.
That's the only reason why I was like, "You want to come on my podcast?" Maybe this will make up for it. I'm kidding. Anyway, Lance, thank you for helping my listeners trust and believe in the pelvic floor. I hope you guys got a lot out of this informational session, because that's what it was, more than an interview. And make sure you reach out to Lance, and always trust and believe.